The same impelling power that causes God to reveal himself in his twofold manifestations in nature is in the soul, causing the soul to seek expression and manifest its twofold nature as male and female. Plato knew the truth when he said, "Every soul is only a half soul, male and female are one soul." As the soul descends from its divine state, it separates as male and female, which has always been portrayed as cherubim, male, wisdom, seraphim, female, love, consciousness without form, neither God nor matter. The soul in its absolute state is perfect, pure, cannot be destroyed or changed through manifestation in matter, always has its being in God, the infinite spirit and its existence in the universe. The soul being a spark from the infinite fountain of life, God, is the same in quality, but not in quantity, just as a drop of water taken from the Pacific Ocean would be the same in essence and quality, yet, 9, could never be the ocean. The soul is a finite entity in the ocean of life and can never be God, only like unto God. The same attributes and powers are within the soul in a finite degree. In its individualized expression, it is governed by its individualized power directed by the will of God, evolving more and more of its divine attributes. All of nature has worked for ages and ages to bring about the individualized conscious entity we call man. As the sun is the center around which gravitate his family of planets which constitutes our solar system, so the soul is the center of man around which are entwined the vibrations of its atmosphere centered through the physical form constituting the human system, a miniature world of his own creation. Besides this physical expression of life, there is a psychical expression and its gradations and various degrees of consciousness. As this material world is so well adapted for the soul's experiences in its present degree of consciousness while functioning through this gross physical body, so God, in his wisdom, has arranged a suitable world for man while functioning in his finer body. There was a time when this planet was asleep in the bosom of the solar nebulae, then finally came to birth as a gaseous luminous mass whirling through space with tremendous rapidity. Millions of years passed by ere in its cooling and condensation it became sufficiently transformed to permit life to manifest itself in its most rudimentary aspects, the first organic forms of protoplasm, the first aggregation of cells, the protozoans, the zoophytes, the plant animals, the gelatinous substance of the still warm seas were succeeded by the fishes, the reptiles, the birds, the mammals and lastly man, who now occupies the topmost round of the genealogical tree and crowns the animal kingdom. The history of this planet is the history of life with all its metamorphosis. It is not our intention to discuss the evolution of the physical structure of this planet, nor the evolution of the spark from the time it left its infinite cradle to plunge into manifestation, evolving in every plane and every kingdom of life until it became the individualized conscious entity we call man, having plunged into manifestation that it may see itself reflected in the mirror of nature, to evolve its potentialities, possibilities or power from within, attaining higher and higher degrees of consciousness, that the mind may conquer nature instead of being controlled by it. Rather, we are considering the evolution of the soul from the time it leaves its physical body, to make the change called death, that it may continue life in the ethereal world, beginning where it left off here to give expression on higher planes of activity, and in higher rates of vibration. When this planet was a gaseous, molten luminous mass in its cooling and condensation was formed the vapor, the atmosphere, and this crust upon which we are now dwelling, at the same time the ethereal or spiritual part of this mass concentrated into the ethereal zones which we call the ethereal world. This ethereal or spiritual part of this mass is the cause and this material crust and all else is its effect and counterpart. Our Earth and all planets as well as all suns have their invisible auroral zones or spheres with their various gradations. The auroral zones correspond in chemical constituents and rate of vibration with the various conditions and gradations of the soul's progression. We will now speak of the soul in its state of expression in matter, not in its absolute state. When we speak of the soul, we mean spirit consciousness, mind. Its auroral envelope is its emanation which radiates from the spirit, as its atmosphere, or garment of the Spirit. This atmosphere is the register of our thoughts, acts and deeds, which leave their distinct impressions. As we mingle with others, their vibration intermingling with ours, changes their quality of our vibration. In its absolute and original state, the soul is perfect, pure, uncreate in its manifestations through matter. It attracts unto itself substance in its various vibrations from every plane through which it passes, causing the outer garments to become re-chemicalized in every plane of life. Through our thoughts, acts and deeds, we either refine and purify this substance which the soul has attracted unto itself in its expression through matter, or we cause it to become cloudy and dense. Spirit is the electric vibrator and motor of the soul. Consciousness is the light of the soul. The mind is the objectified part of spirit, that consciousness which functions through the physical avenues, being attracted outward to material things. It is the contact of the mind with the physical vibrations that produces thoughts. The soul in its absolute state is like the pure light of the sun, and the mind like the rays of the sun. The mind, being attracted by material vibrations, creates desires for material things, causing the mind to think these are permanent and real. It is only through experience and growth that we perceive the real and realize the difference between that which is temporary and that which is eternal. Spirit knows, the mind thinks. The mind must be controlled and directed. In other words, you are not the mind, neither are you the body, you are that which has brought about the mind and the physical body. You are spirit, the electric vibrator, that energizing force which breathes in and out through the physical body, the pores, the lungs, the nervous system. The mind is the outflow of the spirit manifesting through the physical avenues, and the soul is the radiation, the atmosphere and clothing or garment of the spirit in which is registered all our thoughts, our acts, our deeds. When we speak of the soul in its expression on this planet, we mean spirit, mind and its garments. Again, as our sun is the center around which gravitate its family of planets, so the soul of man is the center of the human system, around which are entwined the vibrations of its atmosphere, which registers its thoughts, acts and deeds. And as the human system is engirdled by an auroral sphere in which are designated its various garments, so our earth is engirdled in its auroral spheres, designated as the zones with their gradations. In these auroral zones which engirdle our earth, we find every phase of social and mental development. We find the domestic, the inventive, the musical and scholarly zones, the heavenly or spiritual, the celestial or divine kingdoms. Every zone corresponds in its rate of vibration and color with the solar beam in the prism. The domestic, inventive, musical and scholarly planes are a great necessity and are very important for the soul's progression, as they establish an opportunity for that which was neglected or the fulfillment of that which was not accomplished while functioning in the physical body. The soul must outgrow these material vibrations which have been created through its desires ere it can progress to higher states and become fit and eligible for the heavenly zones and the celestial heavens. Within every soul are the possibilities and potentialities of an angel, ruling angel, Messiah or Christ. In fact, a divine power not yet dreamed of by the finite mind lies within each and every soul in a dormant state, which must be unfolded through time and somewhere ere we can gravitate to inhabitate God's heavenly or His divine kingdoms. So long as we have not fitted ourselves for these higher states, we must go where the conditions are conducive for this preparation after we leave the physical body. When we leave this physical body, we take with us our tendencies, our desires and our habits. Then how could any soul that is filled with obnoxious thoughts, of hate, jealousy, hypocrisy, crime, lust and vice, enter or habitate a heavenly zone where all is harmony, and divine love? We might just as well expect a fish to live out of water for any length of time on this earth plane. The soul must become regenerated, transmuted and purified ere it can ascend to the heavenly zones or still greater heights which await all. The conditions which we have created for ourselves through our habits and desires we cannot escape. These are the first to confront us after our transition into the new life. We must travel through the ethereal zones of this planet ere we can expect to find the still greater opportunities or the still more perfected states or expressions of life. How could anyone expect to be a traveler or dweller on other planets or explore other system of worlds so long as he has not mastered the conditions on this planet or have become master of self? These ethereal zones around our planet with their various gradations and environments are just as tangible and as real to the soul and its senses as are our present conditions and environments on this earth realm real and tangible to our physical senses. These ethereal zones extend around this planet revolving through space with the same rapidity as the planet. They extend out some thousands of miles, but not to eternity, for it must be remembered that all planets, all suns, have their ethereal zones, and the moon has its chemical conditions and gaseous spheres. Now let us think of our atmosphere which we breathe. Extending to a certain radius and above this is a gaseous belt extending out some distance, next to this is the electric belt and then comes the etheric belt. Now, between this electric and etheric belt lies the first inhabited zone. This zone is 100,000 miles from this Earth. It is 40,000 miles wide. Every zone has its chemical conditions and heated gases of the sun, causing a space of 10,000 miles between every zone. This space of 10,000 miles between each zone is not empty space, as there is no such thing as empty space, it is only apparently so, and if we were attuned to its vibrations, we would be cognizant of its conditions. Next to this space lies the second zone and its chemical conditions and heated gases, and next to this lies the third zone with its chemical conditions and heated gases. Then comes the moon, which lies between the third and fourth zones, and next to the fourth zone and its chemical conditions and heated gases cone is the fifth zone, and then the sixth and then the seventh, which is the topmost round of our planet, in which we function ere we can have a period of rest or inactivity. Then comes the first and second celestial kingdoms and the third celestial kingdom is the fountain of bliss. Some of the zones vary in width on account of the passing of other planets. In such places they would vary from 2 to 5,000 miles. Our moon is 240,000 miles from our Earth. The first inhabited zone is 100,000 miles from here, 40,000 miles wide. 10,000 miles space between first and second. Second inhabited zone is 150,000 miles from here, 12, 40,000 miles wide. 10,000 miles space. Third inhabited zone is 200,000 miles, 30,000 miles wide. 10,000 miles space. To the moon, 240,000 miles. The moon's auroral sphere, 60,000 miles wide. The fourth inhabited zone is 300,000 miles, 40,000 miles wide, 10,000 miles space. The fifth inhabited zone is 350,000 miles, 40,000 miles wide, 10,000 miles space. The sixth inhabited zone is 400,000 miles, 40,000 miles wide, 10,000 miles space. The seventh inhabited zone is 450,000 miles, 40,000 miles wide, 10,000 miles space. First celestial kingdom, 500,000 miles from here. First celestial kingdom, 100,000 miles space and width. Second celestial kingdom, 600,000 miles. Second celestial kingdom, 400,000 miles space and width. 13, third celestial kingdom, 1 million miles. In these intervening spaces are wonderful mountain ranges, oceans, ravines, streams, lakes, sandy beds, waterfalls, cataracts, trees, shrubbery and wildflowers. While the inhabitants of the world of soul do not dwell in these parts, they ramble or stroll through here for an outing or investigation, or to be alone to enjoy the wonderful freaks of nature. Here the friends or teachers bring the newborn souls just as we take strangers to our mountains and lakes and resorts to show them the varieties and beauties of our country that they may enjoy these interesting wonders. While these zones blend into each other, yet they are distinctly separate and apart, not by a mere boundary line, but by what we would call peculiar freaks of nature, caused by its chemical conditions and heated gases of the sun in the scale of ascension. The atmosphere of every zone is more ethereal, of a higher rate of vibration, the lower zones being the densest and of lower vibrations. There are seven zones and seven gradations in every zone, and this constitutes the world of soul around our planet, which we call the ethereal world, through which all dwellers of the earth must pass. As none can escape this journey, it behooves you to become acquainted with this unseen or unknown world, that you will not be a stranger in a strange land, not knowing which way to turn or what to do. To know of this world should be the most important, the most vital of all knowledge, as it concerns each and every soul, from which none can escape and sometime must imbibe its truth and come face to face with these facts. Seldom does anyone gravitate to the fourth zone at death. You can go out beyond our planet and other planets in your journeys while the cord is not yet severed, if you are fitted for such journeys. The ordinary individual could not dwell beyond the third zone. The atmosphere is so very ethereal and your soul would not vibrate in harmony with it, and you would have to become attuned there you could exist in its vibration. Not only this, but you must know its laws and be capable of fulfilling the requirements of this zone. It is a very rare occurrence for any individual to ascend to the fourth zone immediately after leaving the physical body. The majority of people are fitted for the second zone. While those who have become sufficiently unfolded through service or good deeds and have become awakened and have sufficient knowledge of the law of evolution and vibration gravitate to the third zone. We can obtain sufficient knowledge and unselfishly serve humanity, sufficiently unfolding the light within to make us eligible for the fifth zone, and such at death would gravitate to the third, then to the fourth, gathering in each zone that which was neglected, and then in a very short time enter the fifth. If you could see this zone with its advantages and glorious beauty, you would desire to linger here indefinitely. There are a very few exceptions where individuals have attained the knowledge, understood the law and unselfishly served humanity, such gravitated to the fourth, then rapidly passed through the fifth to the sixth. Such was the case with that great Hindu master so well known throughout this world as Swami Vivekananda, who was an unusually highly evolved, enlightened soul, whose wonderful message and unselfish service to humanity will never be forgotten. This great soul gravitated to the fourth zone and in less than 2 years, passed to the sixth zone, which is considered remarkable in the soul world. Swami Vivekananda is now a dweller in the seventh zone. 75 years is considered a very short time for any soul to progress to the seventh zone, beginning at the first round on the ladder of life in our ascension, which is in the third zone. 14. The one question which has been uppermost in all minds throughout the ages has been, from whence have we come and whither do we go and what is the purpose of life, which is gradually revealed in our march of progression through these various zones in this ethereal world. All who have progressed to the seventh zone know where they go and from whence they have come. The ethereal world is organized and governed by God's laws through justice and divine love. All works and all results are dedicated to the Lord, praises to the Lord echo and reverberate everywhere in all his kingdoms. There are rulers and teachers and masters in every zone. The rulers are considered among the highest of God's messengers and helpers, whose divine love and wisdom is felt and reverenced by all the dwellers of every zone. The most tender, kindly consideration is shown every soul regardless of its mistakes, state or position, and every dweller clings to these rulers, teachers and masters as a child to a parent, realizing they are pointing the way. These intelligences or souls of wisdom are so holy and sacred that the finite mind could not perceive their power, their wisdom and their love. So long as the finite mind cannot comprehend the possibility of the existence of such sacred souls, how could you have any conception of the holiness and power of God, who is infinite? We only know God through his manifestations and his handiwork and see his power in back of all there is. Men can only perceive God as he unfolds higher degrees of consciousness, which light reveals God to his soul. so long as we are not able to sense higher rates of vibrations than those which our physical senses respond to, we could not expect to gravitate to a zone whose vibrations are so much higher than these to which we are attuned to on this material realm. We could not exist in an environment that is not adapted and attuned to us, or to which we are not attuned. We are rather dumbfounded or completely overwhelmed when we first learn of the facts concerning our requirements after we leave this physical body and make the change called death. We have been so accustomed to thinking that we go to heaven, with its golden streets and harps and the fine God on a throne to judge us, either to condemn us or fold us in his bosom, so that the facts that we must become purified and regenerated and that much else is required of us ere we can go to any heavenly kingdom is rather appalling to the undeveloped soul. However, the sooner we awaken to the realization of the facts concerning our being, the easier and better it will be for us. And the sooner we get acquainted with the country through which we all must travel, the easier will be our journey and the better will be the conditions that confront us on our arrival in this land of the soul that is so little known, all because of the superstitions and selfish, individualized, centralized interests of the many on this earth realm. But no more shall the truth be withheld, for all who come in contact with these pages will be so uplifted and benefited that they will spread the glad tidings all over this world until they will permeate every home, and all will know there is no death. 15. The first inhabited zone of the ethereal world 100,000 miles from this earth realm. Thou holy God, thou who art the spirit of manifestation, manifest thyself in us day by day. May thy light so penetrate our souls that it may transmute the darkness and quicken the spark of divine love within until its dynamic power will consume all selfishness and hatred within our hearts, lifting us into a consciousness of thy being that we may grow nearer and nearer to thee and by feel thy spirit breath and enjoy the glories and blessings of thy eternal light. This zone lies between the electric and etheric belts and is called the shadow zone. Here it is never light. It is between twilight and total darkness and is of a very low rate of vibration. The octopus which is found here in the Pacific Ocean, when threatened with danger evolves or emits a dark cloud then sneaks away and leaves the dark cloud behind. Some individuals create a dark cloud around their being through their daily thoughts and acts, casting their shadows before them, and the deeds of many have left their shadows behind them. This cloudy garment which they have created, follows them wherever they go. This shadow is the first to greet them in the world of soul. Since God has provided suitable places for the soul, in its various conditions and states of evolution through time, we find here suitable habitation for the individuals who have woven into the warp and woof of their life, the dark clouds of materiality through their selfishness, jealousy, hatred, revenge, malice, vice and brutality. The dense cloudy atmosphere of the beings who inhabit this zone corresponds to the chemical condition and rate of vibration of the dense substance of this zone. This dense, dark substance which they have woven around themselves does not permit the light to enter their being and obstructs from their view all that is good and all that is divine. This element causes the soul to contract, shrivel up, while the light within is perfectly dormant. In this state of lethargy, many cannot be aroused except through a terrible roar like that of a cannon or some terrible shock. It is as though these elements have become crystallized or petrified so that many of them are not conscious of anything but fear and terror which haunts their soul. All of their acts and deeds are continually before them and this is worse than any hell that man could picture or has been pictured through the orthodox mind. In this zone are found many mountains and caves and rivers, and the roaring, thundering waters of an ocean. Some of the caves are dark as dungeons with their stalactites and stalagmites. Many of these dwellers will hide in their caves or lie down flat on the ground behind dense bushes of shrubbery, always in fear, quivering, trembling. Others, who are not quite so calloused, live in little huts with wooden tables and benches, spend their time with the same crude amusements, only in a modified form, playing cards as they did on the earth realm, having their pet animals always at their side. They roam around the mountains, watching the fishes and the animals. They amuse themselves greatly with the numerous animals found in this zone. They do not realize that nothing propagates, nothing dies in the ethereal world. They do not realize they are creating for themselves that which they desire. They do not realize they have created their condition and their environments. In fact, many of them do not realize that they have passed out of their physical body and are existing in their soul body. If those on this earth realm who are living a life of deception, or selfishness, a life of vice and brutality and crime, could for a moment see these deformed souls in their tattered, stained garments, it would leave such an indelible impression that they would reform and change their mode of living while yet in their physical body. They would pray for guidance and help that they may become cleansed and purified and make an effort to overcome or work out their conditions here on this earth realm. They would abandon their life of lust and crime and lift themselves out of the black clouds they gather around themselves. There are those who have entered here who regret their mistakes and immediately seek to know how they can compensate for their awful deeds, and such attract to themselves beneficent souls from the higher zones who teach them and show them how to lift themselves out of their environments. Such soon see a ray of light and hope fills their soul, and like a tiger after his prey, they reach out towards the light and lose no time in extricating themselves from the darkness and barren conditions of this zone. When they have sufficiently cleansed and purified themselves, they breathe a sigh of relief and openly and loudly thank God for the light. They fall at the feet of the divine angel who has shown them the way. Their soul becomes quickened with love and appreciation, never to be forgotten. When the light dawns in such a soul, then he sees his tattered, stained garments, and as he becomes aware of his condition, he immediately rushes to the nearest fountain of water, stands under its beneficent sprays, trying to wash out the stains in his garment, while grief is aroused in his present state of consciousness. He is not yet aware that all his regrets and grief will multiply in his awakening and can only be overcome through good thoughts, good deeds, through unselfish service to those who are in the same condition. Such will be his mission until such time as he has earned his own salvation. In these experiences he will learn that divine love is the only redeeming power of all life. This is indeed a field for purification and atonement, as God's laws are immutable and unchangeable. Throughout the ages, man has been taught that we must suffer for our sins and that God punishes those who do evil and are wicked, by casting them into a fiery furnace or some bottomless pit. But in the world of soul we come face to face with facts and all conditions. We find that there is a purpose in this expression of life and that God has provided equal opportunities if we comply with his laws, and if we work against his law, instead of abiding by it, we suffer for our mistakes. We learn that we are creators and have created our own conditions, our own destiny, and that we have punished ourselves. We learn that God's laws are such that every action has its reaction, every thought is a seed sown which bears fruit of its own kind, and we are the ones who must gather the harvest we have sown. Whether it be sorrow and grief, joy and blessings, we suffer for our mistakes not as a matter of punishment but as the effect of a cause, for God's law is set in motion through our thinking and our doings and rebounds upon ourselves in the world of soul as well as on this earth realm. In the ethereal world we are face to face with ourselves and with God's laws. Our conditions stand out plainly and the highly illumined intelligences can see and know just where we stand and all our mistakes. Out of pure sympathy and divine love, which they have for all, realizing how sacred unto God is every soul, they descend to this dark zone to show them the light. When they see these illumined intelligences approaching, they run and hide. Fear and terror of the law is constantly before their consciousness, so they imagine every soul they see is after them. Many times, beautiful, sublime souls descend with their harps to play and sing, that they may touch the proper key of their soul and through this harmony quicken the tender chord of divine love. Oft-times they quietly crawl out from their places of hiding to listen to these beautiful strains of music, and when they touch the proper key, they draw nearer and pray, then they are willing to listen and be led. The divine angel who suddenly appears before him, assures him there is a way out of this darkness, that leads to the light of day, and assures them that the way is open through their desire to do good for every evil thought and act. On this earth realm, man is governed and order is attained by man-made laws, while in the world of the soul all is governed and order is established through God's divine law of love.